Amen. Don't get too excited. Jesus stepped in. Amen. I'm glad he did. Amen. Titus chapter 2. Again, I'm just going to say this. I did not even get to my outline last week. Big front porch. Probably be my last time in Titus, and then we'll come back. I'm not going to do, I already said last week or Sunday, no Revelation, no Titus. I'll probably preach something outside of the Fruit of the Spirit Sunday morning, and then I might even Wednesday night let one of the deacons, I won't tell them until that night, but maybe Wednesday night next week we'll have the deacons. I'm sure Matt's got something in his Bible, or Jim, or Bill Nicholas. Mike's got something. We're going to save that till Father's Day, Brother Mike. All right? This year you're doing Father's Day this year, Brother Mike. Amen. We there? Titus, New Testament. Alicia. Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I've asked the Lord before I came here tonight to keep in what I want to come out. And come out what He wants to come out. Because I could go off on a tangent right there from what I've seen this week. I am so tired of watching. Brother Joe, I appreciate that video you sent to me today. I almost reached out to a bunch of preacher friends of mine. There was a time, I don't know if the ones with gray hair in here will probably remember it. We used to share cassettes. Remember I said that before? And you'd say, oh man, this is a good message right here. You need to, churches would have them for free or a dollar, whatever the cost of the cassette was. And we've stopped that now. And then it was, CDs, and then it went to DVDs, and now it's just online. And I think a lot of people just shop around and they get some really bad doctrine. Just shopping around. But, And there's a lot out there. I've watched so many discouraging videos this week, just clips that just absolutely nauseate me. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. He didn't say preach about the word. He didn't say preach your word. He said preach the word. There's enough sermons in the Bible that Jesus preached to keep us loaded up for a while. But Joe sent me one this afternoon. It was just tremendous. And I've got an idea. It won't be a app or anything on your phone, but I'm going to try and figure out a way that we can get back to that. Now, we do it already in the Timothy group. We'll see something. I send a lot of stuff that's shenanigans, but anyways, because there's shenanigans out there, and I want these guys to know the shenanigans. But he shared a message with me when we came back from Florida last month. We listened to 4 or 5 messages, didn't we, on the trip back? But I want to figure out a way to start sharing. I might even put a link on our website to other messages from other people. I am not insecure in who I am that you shouldn't be listening to as much good stuff as you can listen to. When we started the church in South Africa, the services was Josh knew how to play the guitar, and we would sing songs, and then we would put in a cassette. My family got enough preaching during the daytime. They didn't need me on a Sunday. They didn't need me on a Sunday or Wednesday to preach more. I did when visitors came, but we would sit around and listen to a cassette. And so I might figure, Joe, if we can figure out a way to reference other. Joe has run into some good men. There's one, every message you send from him is just absolutely spot on. And I think he shared it in the Timothy group this afternoon. I'm almost through it. I didn't get all the way through it because Libby was preaching to me, so I couldn't hear his preaching. But anyways, what I was saying was, verse 1, Paul told Titus, who was the pastor at the church at Crete, that he left him there for a cause, and the cause was to set in order the things that were wanting. Number 2, it was to ordain elders. I've already preached my soapbox about pastors that never ordain elders and then they leave the church and leave it to a pulpit committee. Then he said in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. A lot of people can't teach anybody else anything because they've never been taught anything. Then he gets to verse 1 of chapter 2 and he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he says who, the who, if you will, and what they're supposed to do, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. You don't see much charity sometimes out of some of these guys preaching. In patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good... Maybe I'm reading into it. Maybe Titus, them ladies in that town had more of a drinking problem than the men. I don't know. I'm just wondering. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. I know some of y'all probably got panicked when I said the other day, and I'm saying it in generality, that the young women need to sober up nowadays. Imagine if that woman in Cleveland would have been sober before she put her two kids in a suitcase and killed them. How do you get to that place? You know how you get to that place? And Brother Nathan, he's filming. I don't know if he's recording this right now. You look at Alaska and the statistics of alcohol abuse, domestic violence, suicide, all that stuff. Do you know why that takes place? Because there's not a Titus in Crete to set things in order that are wanting, to ordain elders and to hold fast the word of truth as he had been taught. So then when you get there, the aged women are just as much of a problem as the younger women, and the aged men are just as much, and it just, and the devil sits back and says, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I put it all in place, and don't any, and then a missionary tries to go there and he kills himself to raise support, goes through three vehicles to raise support. Why? And the devil says he may never get there. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Some young ladies and some young men don't know how to love their children, love their wives, because they never sought an example. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Heard somebody say the other day, he was in this text and he said, got women that'll go to work and be on time and fearful that their boss will write them up, but then don't have that same kind of submissiveness or obedience to their own husband. Thank you, Mama, for doing that. Amen. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the work, watch this, that exhortation was not given to the men. That exhortation was given to the women, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Said, young men likewise, exhort to be so sober-minded. In all things, young men, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Arnell ought to see the young men in our church be a pattern for him to follow. Exhort servants to be obedient. Do you notice it's covering everybody? Lottie-dottie, everybody is mentioned. Young, old, male, female, bosses, children, everything. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Do I need to expound on what that means? Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn. How you carry yourself at work adorns the Word of God. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Can I tell you, sometimes you say, well, how's the grace of God appeared to all men? Through you and I. Through us demonstrating these things and being that person at work. You don't have to have a name tag that says, I'm a mentor. You don't have to have a name tag that says, I'm a disciple of Christ. You just have to carry yourself in that way, in your deportment, that other people look at you and say, you are definitely different than some of these other people at work. What is that? Where did you come from? What did you have a mom and dad? Did you, you know, that you start asking these questions and it's a perfect... Can I just say this? If we will execute the Word of God in our conversation, clothing, and company, you'd be surprised how many people will ask us rather than us having to ask them something. I asked Rodney, I asked other people at work, what's the difference with you, and so on and so forth. And it gets an opportunity. And you know what's taking place? The grace of God. We are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, right? And we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. We have those fruit of the Spirit, and other people see it. Why? Because God shed His grace on us, and we have now the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, and we now demonstrate that grace to other people. I say to Libby often, and I say to myself often, we ought to show grace to other people because God showed grace to us. We ought to be forgiving to other people. Why? Because God forgave us. We had too many people get in church, get saved from a rough lifestyle, and then they get in church, and they're some of the most critical people, forgetting that God forgave them. They're that one that was forgiven that great, you know, what was that? What was the sum of that amount of money that he had, and his Lord forgave him of that, and then he goes out and he's choking somebody out for what? Two pants or something like that. Forgetting what was given to him. So the grace of God hath appeared to all people. Jake, at your work, the grace of God should show up. Jacob, at your work, the grace of God should show up. John, when you're at that tree service, the grace of God should appear to all men. Everybody should know that you're indwelt with the Spirit of God without you putting a little badge on it, white shirt, black tie, and black pants. That wasn't in my notes, but anyways. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, there it is again, there's the concept here. Whether it's directions for discipleship, or whether it's mentoring for manuscript for mentoring, teaching us. Mark, you're teaching people at work what God looks like and how graceful, gracious He is, how merciful He is, how long-suffering He is. Teaching us at denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We got too many people that go to work and they're so far dove into everything else that is the pattern that the other... Well, that guy drinks, I guess I can if I go to church. That guy beats his wife, I guess I can if I go to church. And then they got podcasts all about it. Teaching us at denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Got too many folks at the water fountain laughing over dirty jokes. They go to church. Liking things that are inappropriate on Facebook, that go to church. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. And that word over and over again is echoed through the three chapters. That we should what? Live soberly, righteously. Was that verse of Scripture? He did quote that verse of Scripture in that message this week. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do you do that? By being sober. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. If He gave Himself for us, we ought to give ourselves for other people. That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things, and here's where the premise of mentoring, manuscript of mentoring, these things that he's just said in the previous two chapters, speak and exhort, and if you have to, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I just want to go over into a couple verses into the next chapter. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. So we see there's a process there in this teaching, in this mentoring. You go over to, and for me, it's the next page, verse 8. It says, this is a faithful saying. He's reiterating again all the things I've said to you, Titus, in this letter, that I want you to stay in Crete. I want you to set things in order that are wanting. I want you to ordain elders. It's a shame that I've seen so many preachers. It bothers me. Preachers that'll sit at a church for 12, 13, 14, 5 years, whatever, and never ordain an elder, get a whim, eat pizza too late at night, drinking Pepsi too late at night, and next thing you know, they're surrendering to evangelism, or they're over here, or they're here, and they've never done what they went to that church to do to begin with that God sent them to that church for. Pastors that leave to go into evangelism, and then the pulpit committee's found. There's not a pulpit committee. When I go there, when he's in Alaska, they are setting things in order. They're looking for those men when they go to those little hamlets. What would he even call them, Brother Nathan? Villages along the river. He's going in there, and he will go as a circuit riding preacher till he finds somebody that gravitates to the Word of God, that wants to be discipled, that wants to be mentored. And then he says, listen, I'm going down to the next village. You stay here and you set these things in order. And as you're day-to-day dealing with these people and mentoring these people, then next step is to ordain an elder, somebody that can lead these people and teach these people and bring them to a knowledge of Christ. And he says, and how are you going to do that? Verse 9, he says, you're going to hold fast the faithful word as you have been taught. So as that preacher comes through and teaches that man and he stays there to set things in order. Why? Because every village, every town, every country, every continent needs a church that will be a pillar for the community of truth. And we're dropping the ball on that, but yet the other side, they're coming in and they're doing the same thing. Who do you think's winning that battle right now? Verse 8, this is a faithful saying. All these things I've said to you, this is a faithful saying. He says, in these things I will that thou affirm constantly. I have people that come in this pulpit. You know what Brother Nathan did when he came here? As I've watched him and invited him in here, he just came in and affirmed what we're already doing here. Brother O'Malley comes in, he affirms what we're doing here. Brother Dewey comes in, he affirms. Brother Nathan comes in and affirms. Brother Money comes in and affirms. Brother Rose comes in and affirms. Why? Then you start realizing, hey, the prophets are subject unto the prophets. This does work if we do it right. And then next thing you know, we send out a Joe. And a Joe is to do what? When he goes somewhere? Listen, he is not, I hope he knows this. He is not going somewhere to nail a board to a wall. Helps ministry starts. I can't think of the guy's name that helped Moses. That was a helps ministry. It was more than a badger skin. It was more than a candlestick. It was a help. Why? It was pointing them. And there's times when he's going to have to fill a pulpit. There's times when he's going to have to affirm and help so that everybody knows what's going on. We've got too many people that depend on the missionary and the pastor to do it. Everybody affirms that. When these men get up here, you know what they're going to do? They're going to affirm that message. They're not going to get up there and get on a hobby horse, talk about socks and ties and everything else. They're going to get up there and they're going to affirm, they're going to hold fast the word of truth as they have been taught. Problem is, too many of them ain't been taught, so all they affirm is what they've been taught, and what they've been taught is wrong. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. How many of us as parents have said, hey, I didn't teach you that. Where'd you get that from? That's what ordination certificates are for, right? When you go somewhere else and you stop teaching that, those people that ordained you, they can pull you back and say, hey, where'd you get that from? You're not going to teach that. You're not going to go out somewhere. Brother Nathan was telling me there's churches that ask him every year to re-sign an agreement in their constitution. We've stopped that. We just let people go and preach whatever willy-nilly they want to preach anymore. And then we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. He said, these things are good and profitable unto men. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight, please. This is such an important topic and such an important need for the church. And we've gotten to the place where the old aged men are not teaching the younger men. And then the younger men are wandering around wondering what to do when they get to the place where they're aged. And they fall by the wayside and they fall flat on their face, and their children never come to a saving knowledge of God, and it's a disaster, Lord. And all we have to do is get back to the book and follow the manuscript, and Lord, what you've set in order will work. We've seen it here, and we've seen it with missionaries. We pray that we continue to see it. God, help us, I plead. In Christ's name we pray tonight. Amen. Tonight, we move forward in our study slowly but surely. Miss Cynthia, we're moving forward. We're getting there. We move forward in our study to the next aspect of the manuscript for mentoring, and that is, and I touched on this, and I just kind of went off script. I didn't even get on the porch last week, Brother Andrew, but I showed you the steps. I at least showed you the steps, and be careful before you get up them. But we started last week looking at the people of mentoring. I do want to say this again and again and again in regards to this particular study we've been doing. I know this was birthed from the family conference, but it was birthed way before then. It was birthed in my heart when I surrendered to Christ upon salvation. And when that man said to me, "You are a disciple of Christ," I equated that, Brother Mark, because of our backgrounds, to these 12 men that were disciples. And I put them in a place of, as many churches do, iconography. And they paint their pictures all over in the churches, and you think, those are the ones that do it. We just have to follow them, and then we wear necklaces, and we saint them, and all that kind of stuff. And the fact of the matter was, they were just the first ones that started this, and they were discipling and teaching other people. And if you are a follower of Christ, you're a disciple of Christ. And you're supposed to, and let me say this, the children's program starts in the home. It isn't some little thing that we do separate from everything else. It starts in the home. We're just providing a safe place for everybody to raise their children so they're not confused. They go to school and they hear one thing, and then they come to church and they hear another thing, and then they get with their friends and they hear another thing. It's a safe place. And so it was birthed in my heart when I surrendered to Christ upon salvation, and before that it was birthed in the mind of God. I'm glad God had a plan. Since the fall of man in the garden, He had a plan to rescue mankind. Yes, that rescue would entail Him being the Savior of mankind, but for all others, after that, there must be a guide to direct them. Jesus picked 12 men, hand-chosen. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they all came from different backgrounds. And God used those. They were family men. They were people of different stature and financial status and cultural status and everything else. God had a plan. He wanted to reach the world. Doubting Thomas reached India. He was not an Indian. How did he do that? He went there and mentored people. And so, yes, that rescue would entail him being the Savior of mankind, but for all others after that, there must be a guide to direct them. I want to read a portion of Scripture. Again, this is the front porch to get you in. Because I want to show everybody here that all of us are the people of mentoring. Katie does not realize she's mentoring Charity. Miley and Sienna don't realize how much they are mentoring Lizzie and Charity and Micah. They're mentoring them. They're showing them. When you sit, I don't believe anybody in here does it, as a teenager and you sit and play on your phone in church, that little girl that sits next to you says that's acceptable behavior in church. No matter what, and I picked that out because nobody does it. I could pick out things that many of us are guilty of, but they're watching us. When Joe wears a bow tie, as goofy as it looks, he's mentoring Arnell or Sam. Your name for me is Sam, okay? We're just going to do Sam. Help me again, please. Shaylin. It's a tough one, man, all right? It's not Michael. Shaylin. Shaylin's wore a bow tie before, hasn't he? You're mentoring him. You're mentoring him down a slippery path, Brother Joe. Everybody knows men should wear ties, right? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you're mentoring him. You're mentoring him. Brother Mark, you're mentoring him. Brother Colossi, you're mentoring them. How we are in our deportment mentor somebody else. They're watching. I'll be honest with you, I did not own a suit. And I'm not saying you have to wear a suit to come to church. Mama, when I got saved, I'm going to tell you what, buddy. I showed up in snakeskin boots with tips and tails on them. Pair of jeans. Hello, baby. Pair of jeans. I had a t-shirt on. And I just walked into church, didn't I? Big old giant Lanny McDowell mustache. I just come in, plop myself down in church. And I started looking around and I said, one of these things does not belong here. I watched Sesame Street as a kid. I started looking around, Mama, didn't I? And I said, you know, I got to go. Now, unfortunately, all the people that went to the church I went to were old men. So I ended up getting a pair of khakis and them plaid, back at the time, they were plaid short sleeve shirts, white t-shirt that shows, you know, on the belt, you know, you had, and bear with me. Alicia, let's be thankful that I went to a church that the pastor didn't have an untucked shirt, skinny jeans on and everything else, and I look around and say, one of these things does not belong here. But I looked around. You know how I got to the place where I bought a suit? Because I looked around what everybody else was doing. I'm glad they were doing it right. Do you know why so many of them are doing what they're doing now? Because they're looking around at what everybody else is doing. Dreadlocks and tattoos and baseball caps and everything else. So, I just want to read a passage of Scripture, see if this the people of mentoring is really even a process in the Bible. Acts 8, chapter 26, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. He's a disciple, right? Angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, said, Philip, I want you to get some hunting gear, and I want you to be a hunter. I want you to be a fisherman. I know all that. I'm getting it. But he says, watch this. You are mine, and I am going to direct you in the direction I want because you are a pawn on my chess table, and I'm going to put you in a place where if you'll be obedient to me, we can win this world to Christ. Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem. Boy, them are some pretty descriptive directions. Down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. Amazing, God knows what he's doing sometimes. The gospel got to Africa. So God, when they multiply after the flood, they all say, we're going to build a tower and we're going to get to God. God says, that's not my plan. My plan is to populate the earth and go out, because he knew, listen, I'm not coming back right now. I already know when I'm coming back, and when I come back, or when I come as a child, as birthed into the world, God became flesh and dwelt among us. He says, I know when I'm coming back, but until then, we need to populate the earth. So he confounds their language, and then they spread out, contrary to what the public school system teaches. Then all of a sudden, when he comes, now what takes place is 16 nations are represented at Pentecost. And all of a sudden, he unconfounds their language. They could hear. The miracle was the hearing, not this. And it was in an intelligible language, not in an unintelligible language. And 16 different nations heard the gospel, and God said, my plan's falling in place. But there's this Ethiopian, and I'm going to get Philip because he listens to me, and he understands the mentoring process of how this takes place. And I'm going to send, and he arrives in, he goes to this Ethiopian, because why? God says, this man is in charge of a lot of things, and he has an influence on a lot of people, and if I can get to him, then I can get those people. Isn't it God wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God's not willing that any man should perish, but all come unto repentance? So he talks to this Ethiopian. I said that to say this. Who knows who God has you around? And you're, Mike, how many, they don't have, listen, you're not having an invitation when the buses come. All right, let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. You're not doing that before they get on the bus. But your deportment on a day-to-day basis, how you present yourself, is the grace of God that bringeth salvation, is it appearing to all men, even in that age group? Man, there's something different about it. Or how many of the kids at school are sitting there going, there's something different about Mr. Baldwin. Mr. Baldwin doesn't look like a Delta Force guy with a flak jacket on and sleeves all the way down to his wrist. I'm not talking about this sleeve, I'm talking about the other sleeve. And then have one that says, Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ, tattooed on his forearm. You see what I'm saying? I'm not against, I got them, but I don't have those. And I cover them up. And they're sitting there saying, are they later on going, there's something different about Mr. Baldwin. There's something different about Mr. Baldwin. Philip goes to this man. This is how, who's the person at work? Who's the person at the grocery store? Fellas, here's some. Here's for the four aged men. Who's at Bob Evans every Thursday? Who's at Bob Evans every Thursday watching you four aged men? How you tip, how you talk, how you treat other people. Hey, I notice sooner or later, somebody's got to walk up to that table and say, or they got to be standing there waiting to put your plate down, watching you pray for your food. Sooner or later, could God put you in place? That waitress comes by or that waiter comes by and says, I watch y'all pray every week. I used to go to church. And I got a boy. He's just spinning out of control. Didn't that happen in the scriptures? Didn't in the scriptures his father come and say, I came to your disciples. My son off tossed himself in the water. My son off tossed himself in the fire. I came to your disciples and they couldn't help me a bit. He has to rebuke the disciples and say, this kind cometh forth, but by prayer and fasting, obviously, boys, fellas, you weren't doing that. Is there a waitress that is sitting there that's watching you in your deportment one of these times it comes by? It ought to happen. Here, and when it doesn't happen, we ought to question ourselves, why aren't people asking me why I'm different? Titus said we're supposed to be a peculiar people. Peter said we're supposed to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Not much of a holy nation. I watched a video the other day, and a pastor had the president. Now, I know some of this is going to bother y'all. The pastor had the president send a video to that conference. And I'm thinking, foul mouth. I don't know if we look at this right. Foul mouth. Foul mouth. Casino owning. Everything like that. Have we forgotten that stuff? That's the example that we're setting. And then we wonder why we've got a nation that's spinning out of control. Puts a stamp of approval on that nasty behavior. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. Could you imagine what God could do with somebody like that? Sure we can. We just rewind. Look what he did with Joseph. Second in command in Egypt. And that Egyptian Pharaoh, he didn't have a personal relationship with God. I don't see that in Scripture. But he was at least listening to Joseph, because we hear next, I think it's Exodus chapter 3, and there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And guess what that Pharaoh did? He was feeding them to the alligators. So Joseph made a difference. Here's what I'm saying in a nutshell. You can make a difference at your job. If that little maid can make a difference to 2 Kings 5, Naaman, in captivity, you can make a difference at your job. I'll tell you what, I need a new job. My boss is terrible. Did God put you there maybe to win your boss to Christ? Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, scrolling through Facebook, and come across Isaiah the prophet. And that's not what it says, but you understand what I mean. He's reading. He had just been to town and heard all that was going on. Might have got a snippet of Peter's message at Pentecost. He leaves. God's servant listens to him, follows him out there. He's reading from Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said to him, talk about mentoring. Understandest thou what thou readest? You know, I said this the other day by way of illustration. I'm not shooting in any way when I say this, I'm just pastoring. I don't run out the door after services are. You know why? I get around people. Why? Because they're going to talk. And I feel like I have something to say. I feel like people have made a difference in my life. So I get around people and they might be having a conversation. They say to me, Pastor, can I ask you a question? And then there's safety. What? In a multitude of counselors. What are counselors? They're people that are mentoring other people. And I can sit there and say something. Nathan has mentored me this week. If nothing, Miss Hannah's mentored me this week. I'm sitting there typing something out in my phone. And I said, oh my goodness, I deleted it. She goes, just shake your phone. I went, what? She said, shake your phone. I shook my phone. I'm thinking some miracle's going to happen. I looked at the screen. It says cancel, undo. I've seen that 1,000 times. She said, undo. And I went, what just happened in my hand? Something as simple as that. Y'all are looking at me like I'm stupid. I'm 60 years old. I didn't have a cell phone for years. That's how this works. And we don't do it enough. And you know what happens? The young people get in their little holes. And they don't have anybody counseling them. They don't have anybody pointing them in the right direction. We don't come beside them. I came out of a generation that you'd go to ask a question, they'd say, shut up and just watch me. Young generation now, they want to ask questions. You say, shut up and watch me, they're going to leave. We have to learn to be charity, sober, all those things. He mentored me. I hope I mentored him this week. And we walk away from it. Proverbs says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We don't do enough of it. I stick around to have that opportunity to input. Then, verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to the chariot. He asked him, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I? You talk about a sad moment. He is saying, how can I understand what I'm reading except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come. And I get it. Pastor, I would, you know, you keep driving this down my throat to be a disciple, to be a mentor. I want to mentor people, but they don't want to do it, okay? I want to pastor people. We'd be building another sanctuary. It's a two-way street. You know what you do? When the first one doesn't want it, you don't just give up. You go to the next one that wants it. And if he don't want it, you go to the next one who wants it. Sooner or later, Jesus even said it, when you go into the streets, cities, towns, whatever it is, and they won't receive you, then guess what you do? You still have to go to the town. You still have to go to the city. If they won't hear you, that means you made an attempt. Then you leave out and it says what? You knock the dust off your feet. And it will be worse for them. And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his generation? How many people do you work with? How many people in your family? How many people in your neighborhood? How many people in your social circle? You have not declared him to them. Brother Nathan's video. Well, he's not a church plant missionary. I don't think anybody would say that. But he's making available the burden to somebody else, because every one of those villages on the Yukon River, whatever that river was they're on, needs a mentor. So they don't commit suicide. So they don't beat their wives, and their wives don't beat their husbands. That's the new thing nowadays, wives beating husbands. Laugh all you want, wives beating their husbands. So they don't kill, molest their children. There wasn't, and I know we're in a mixed company. Tina, there wasn't one. We never ministered to a child that had not been molested in Africa. You talk about break your heart. It was just a natural thing. So why, you know what changes that? Christ. But Christ can't change it if there's not a Philip to talk to the Ethiopian. I pray thee. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. See, you get around people after services and they ask questions. We have been preachers in my generation who have said the what, and they say it really crazy a lot of times. And they get a lot of laughs from the audience, and they get their amens and everything else. But we don't take the time to tell them the why. We don't take the moment to explain from the scriptures why we do what we do. He says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, this is what's interesting to me. He didn't need a 12-step program of why you needed to be baptized. And he answered and said, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He's mentoring him. You win him, you wed him, and then you work him. It's a simple process. And watch this, some water, some plant, and God gives the increase. I may win somebody to Christ. I should try and see the process all the way through, but somebody else. Rodney, in essence, won me to Christ, but he didn't baptize me. He pointed me, just like Philip pointed him, back, and he had to become, the Ethiopian, in a sense, had to become a church planter. And let me say this, if God saved him, it naturally is there. I'm so tired of, yes, people needed to be guided. They needed to be guided to God. Then God begins to, it's amazing. Nobody taught me I had to tithe. Nobody taught me I had to read the Bible. There was something about it. God helped me. He protected me in my stupidity when nobody else was around me to disciple me, and He'll lead, guide, and direct us. Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. He wasn't sprinkled. Both Philip and can you just see Philip just, Domino Nabisco shredded wheat. The Greens picked the wrong night to come to church, brother. I'm sorry. I'm glad y'all are members there. Because this is, listen, I pastor the land of misfit toys, and I is one of them. Did he say right? You is one of them too. Brother O'Donnell sent me a letter and said, please take him. Can I get an amen? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. I got something else for you to do, Philip. That the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. That song earlier should have made you rejoice. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities. He didn't stop his job till he came to Caesarea. The Bible is full of stories like this. Book after book, chapter after chapter of people guiding, leading, reaching, helping, and mentoring other people into a closer relationship with God. It is our mission, and it should be our motivation. Sadly, far too many were reached by someone like that and then never continued the process themselves, leaving millions, billions, trillions, never able to meet God or grow in the knowledge and grace of God. Where would we be today if not for Jesus choosing the 12? What would the church look like today if not Saul watching Stephen? The grace of God appeared to Saul on the road to, or at Stephen. You know why? Because he watched Stephen take his persecution like the centurion watched Jesus be crucified. And I know a lot of people say, well, Stephen got a standing ovation for what he did. No, 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 no. God is a judge. And when he stood up, he wasn't applauding Stephen's action. He was a judge that was now putting a legal indictment on the nation of Israel. And that's when you start seeing the turn from reaching the Jew to now reaching the Gentile. And who was one of the greatest Jews, but who did God send him to? The Gentiles. Peter was sent to the Jew. And Peter even struggled with that. And so we see a mentoring take place. What would the church look like today if not Saul watching Stephen? And the events that would follow. I want to read a portion of Scripture next time I come back, but I want to end with this. And I could go a whole lot further, but I see the time. And I'm going to show in this next passage of Scripture. We're still on the front porch. I want to instill this principle. Lori, I know you work at home. But even at home, you can talk on the phone with the grace of God. I know you work at Chick-fil-A and everybody's a saint there and they wear clerical collars and all that kind of stuff. And you're the one that leads them all over there. Noah, you're a disciple. And how you treat your mom in public shows other kids how they can treat theirs. How you talk to Michaela, and I know she's rough. She's rough, man. I know she's rough. It's hard. You really need the Spirit of God to talk to Michaela, don't you? See? And even harder for to talk to Alicia. But you are an example. And what could we do in this community if we really believe that? That when we, you know, you can do it very easily, talk to somebody. Mom, we were in that when COVID was going on. We were over in Akron having to vote, and we were in line. Just sometimes, a lot of times Libby and I will be out, and they'll walk up and start conversation. Oh, my goodness. You have such a pretty dress. Look at that. So beautiful. Nobody ever comes up to me and says, you are so handsome. And they ask, and you know what that is? It's the grace of God. It's a woman going out and looking like a woman. Has anybody been to Walmart over here lately? Well, I'll tell you what, if you think that Walmart's bad, go to Streetsboro's Walmart. Let me tell you what, Libby and I said, you know, those two Walmarts are getting rough, man. We went over to Macedonia, you know. We're going to go to Macedonia Walmart. I ran out of there and I said, Libby, is anybody normal anymore? But you know what we're doing while we're there? And people will watch you if you do it right. We're not on display, but we're on display. And the motivation behind this is there a Philip in here tonight? Listen, I want you to watch that video. Brother Nate, every time I watch a good video, I say, could I do that? Yeah. I can. I got a Ruger Super Blackhawk 44 Magnum. It's a bear gun. I could go there. Nathan in his video sitting there, he's strapped. I'm telling you what, I'm thinking, I'm praying about this man. The missionary gets off the boat, he's walking up to the church, he's got a bag, muck boots on, and I look and I go, it's packing, man. I said, that's my kind of church right there, baby. I mean, 44 Magnums just stuck Nathan, mission work over in Alaska. I said, man, are the bears that prevalent over there? He said, no, it's the people in those villages. I said, what in the world? He said it, I'm not lying. Nathan, you said that. Jacob, could God send you? No, you're too soft. John Stevens, could God send you to Alaska and go into a community and take the gospel to Ethiopians? What did Miss Linda say? Miss Linda, be careful. God can send you somewhere. What's the point, preacher? Stay around and have a conversation. These young people need guidance. Micah needs a guidance. Beanie needs guidance. Have you met her dad? That's what we're supposed to do. You're the people of mentoring. I've asked Alicia, I've asked you, I've walked up to you and said, hey, could you? Miley, you're doing it. And then it's not so strange anymore. There is a generation of young people out there that don't know. That it's sad, isn't it? Is it sad to anybody else? God put Titus in Crete. Study Crete out. Study what Crete looked like. Study what the people of Crete look like. Titus is a square peg in a round hole. Little young Timothy, interracial relationship. Father's gone, grandmother and mother's good. He goes to Ephesus that has Wonder Woman there. Goddess Diana. And then he wants to leave. He's too young. He's not married. Hasn't found her yet. And it's getting tough. It's terrible there. And he said, abide still at Ephesus. Why? Because there's people there. He said, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou what? An example. Timothy, there's people in that town that need you. How many villages, Nathan, on those rivers have people in that town need an example? I'm sick and tired of seeing these big, giant mega churches. They have all these conferences, all this stuff, and then they say and shout and everything else, and then they never walk out of there and impact anybody else's life. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. help us to understand we are the people. It's not for us to look around who else is going to go. You said to Isaiah, when Isaiah asked you, whom shall I send? Whom will go? Or you asked Isaiah that. He said, me, I'll go. Isaiah asked him, how long? He said, until the cities be desolate. God, help us. Help us in our churches with these younger people. Help us in our communities with the people around us. And help us on foreign fields, Lord, that we'd be burdened to be an example to somebody else. And help us to realize that somebody reached us, it should at least be decent for us to want to reach somebody else. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for teaching us to set things in order, ordain elders. But Lord, thank you most of all, and Jude echoed this. Thank you for teaching us to hold fast the word of truth as we have been taught. Help that be our motto, I plead. Speak to a Philip tonight. Speak to a Philip that's gotten used to being on a church pew and you'd have him go somewhere else. Thank you for doing that for me. Help us, I plead. Move in the invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.